What do you think of those glow sticks? They have that a little light on top of them. That's pretty incredible, isn't it? I must admit that I'm pretty amazed by technology. I don't know if you are that way, but I'm going to start to show my age, because I remember when there were rotary phones. I remember using rotary phones, and I remember a time before Al Gore invented the internet. And now my phone is in my pocket. I carry the internet with me, and I've been tweeting this whole service, hashtag Christmas at Forth. And so I just want to take one more picture, if I may. Oh, panorama I should do. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. I can't do that. Oh, pano. Ready? I should have turned the house lights on for this, because now it's just a sea of darkness. Now, the reality of technology being so amazing is one that we see how it can really benefit us. I mean, the technological advances of this age have helped us be able to deal with diseases, have advanced us in medical treatments of such diseases. They've helped us to be able to better educate the world through computer and web abilities. And it can even get ourselves out of a Christmas gift dilemma with overnight shipping from Amazon. So, you know, technology can be an amazing thing, but sometimes technology can carry a toll. And I had the chance to visit a Pocomachi Indian tribe in Guatemala several years back, and we had come there to serve the less fortunate, to provide housing and education. And on the day that we were about to head home to the United States, the pastor's wife turned to me and she said, "I pray for you because you have so much." And here we had come to help them out. We had brought construction materials and labor, and we brought cash. And here they were, poor, but filled with exceeding joy. And they recognized the potential of the problem of affluence. And I'll never forget that comment. "I'll pray for you because you have so much." And sometimes that sentiment really proves to be quite true. For too often it is the so much of this world that diverts our eyes from the provision of God. And that's why I think the simplicity of this yearly remembrance is so important. Because at its very core, its very essence, what we are doing is recalling and recounting the best gift ever. Now, if I had asked you to think about the best gifts that you've ever had, some of us in this room, maybe the ones that are a little older, would likely have as much to do about the giver as the gift itself. And what I mean is that the material possession often is not as important as the one who gave that gift. Let's take art, for example. What you display on your refrigerator will not make it into the Louvre, nor will you be able to sell it to fund your children's college education. And yet, that work is priceless because of the one who gave it to you. And tonight, we do want to talk about that best gift ever. Now, if you had read the title for this little meditation and saw that it was best gift ever, you could think that I had in mind the fact that Rob Yancey was helping me run this service, and at least my hope was that into the future he would lead even more of it, and that he would take on this hour of chaos on his own next year. But of course, there's more to it than that. For the best gift ever is also the real meaning of Christmas. The Apostle Paul, who authored the majority of the letters of the New Testament, wrote to a church in Corinth that he helped start. Now, he loved these people, and he saw them as family. And so he used the technology of that day and wrote them a letter that was then read out loud to that early church. Of course, when he wrote it, it didn't have chapters in verses. Those were the later additions to help us identify the parts that we'd want to refer to. And about two-thirds of the way through that second letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 9 and verse 15, Paul writes the following: "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." This inexpressible or indescribable gift was God's grace extended to his people in the form of a baby born to save. And that's what we celebrate here this evening and each week. The reason that we exist as a church is because of grace. And so that message that we preach is one of grace, a grace that is greater than all our sins, all our imperfections, all our shortcomings. God's grace is greater, and it's extended to you in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, if this is new news to you, don't just leave these doors wondering as you wander, but seek that you may find. Now, by coming here tonight, you identify this as your church, at least on Christmas. And as one of the pastors, I encourage you to come back and to join us again. We'd love for this to be your home, where you and your family can continue to learn about God's amazing grace and love. And so we do welcome you back this Sunday or any Sunday at 8, 9:30, or 11. And if you really liked the music that was led here, Adam leads the music on Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., and we'd love to have you there as well. And this is your home. So if you ever need anything from this family of faith, please do make us aware of it, that we may love and care for you as a family. And we are fast approaching the end of our time together. And I do want to thank you for joining us tonight and to wish you the merriest of Christmas and the happiest of New Year's. And before we sing our final hymn together, let me go ahead and close us in prayer. Let's pray. Eternal God, we do thank you for who you are and for who you've made us to be in Christ, Emmanuel, our God with us. And as we depart this night in the midst of the hustle and bustle of the season, we pray that we might slow down to rejoice in your great provision. For we ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son, our gift, whose birth we celebrate this evening. Amen.